been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation, to The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm,
and Overcast,
and Google Play Music. Guys, we are on location today. We are at Canton Waterfront Park. As you can see, beautiful water.
Beautiful day, man.
Beautiful day in Baltimore. We have a very special interview coming up with Amy Evelith from the Maryland Zoo in Baltimore. She handles Rise and Conquer, two of the Ravens mascots.
Absolutely, the official mascots.
The official mascots. And we're going to talk to her about the about Rise and Conquer, about what game day is like and everything. I'm very excited interview.
I'm very excited, especially to get the opportunity. I'm very excited that Baltimore Zoo was able to help us have this happen. I'm very excited for Amy and to dedicate her time and to have us see what it's all about. I know we really... other than the appearances of Rise and Conquer we've seen, we really wanted to know what they're all about. Yeah. And very up close and personal, we got to see them.
Absolutely. So let's talk about, before we get to that interview, let's talk about what's going on in Ravens world. Darren Waller got popped for 4 games.
Yeah.
Got suspended, and it was for, what was it, an anti, was it, we don't know what kind of drug it was, but it was some sort of...
Well, substance abuse policy. So whatever it was, the league mandated a 4-game suspension on that, so it could have been performance enhancing, it could have been HGH, we don't know, could have been pot, could have been any sort of thing.
It could have been something like Chris Davis last year,
yep,
where
that.
He had a prescription for something, didn't file it the
Adderall,
right way.
It was Adderall.
Adderall.
And then Helody Nada had the same thing happen.
Right, so it could have been something as innocent as that.
Yep.
And it could have been something really bad. We don't know, but still, he's serving a 4-game suspension.
Yeah, and it's going to hurt the team detrimentally because we're already short with, I wouldn't say short, but we don't know the health of Breshad Perriman, as we know.
Right.
And we're thin at receiver, and we need playmakers. And Waller, I thought he was going to be a great asset for us. I mean, and we're talking like he's not going to be on the team. He is. We don't have him for 4 games. He'll be back after the Raiders game early October. So, but with Perriman coming up, with the knee, we don't know how it's going to pan out. Training camp, we're going to have a close eye on training camp at the end of this month.
But here's the thing I got to ask you about Waller. This is his sophomore year. He missed some of the season last year because of an injury. He was making the transition from wide receiver to tight end this year.
Right.
What does the suspension mean for him? Because now he was already making this transition on a pretty crowded position. Now he's missing the first 4 games. He's going to be kind of like the guy who drew the short end of the stick.
Well, what it means is the Ravens are going to have to make a tough decision come that time because the 53-man roster, of course, is already going to be set well in advance before week one. So they're going to have to make a decision. Do they drop somebody? Do they add somebody? Let alone, we don't know how it's going to shape out if anybody gets hurt in the first 4 weeks, if we can make room. So the Ravens have that decision. How are you feeling? Maybe they can put him on the practice squad, move around a few players. Speaking of tight ends, we got Watson, we got Gilmore, we got Max Williams. We have a healthy stable of tight ends. I think we're going to be
Dennis
okay.
And Dennis Pitta.
Oh, you can't forget about Pitta. That's right. He's actually close to 100 or even 100% is what people say about the second hip injury. So what it comes down to is with the tight ends, we already understand Nick Boyle is already still in trouble.
He's
in
got
hot
10
water.
Games.
10 games this
Jeez.
Time. So, the moral of the story is you got to stay out of trouble. And speaking of that, this weekend, it happened 2 days prior to the fights on Saturday night. Again, John Jones. He had Ravens ties, being with his brother Art here.
When they did the Baltimore Arena, didn't he do the Ray Lewis dance?
Yes, he was. I was here. It was great. It was epic. So again, he had the ties. The dude is a bona fide athlete, one of the greatest of our generation. What he does, and it just sucks. Like he said, it just sucks. You saw the raw emotion on Daniel Cormier's.
Oh my God! Did you see that video?
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Well, it cost him a lot of time and energy, and I actually got to see the fights, and, I mean, I applaud Silva for what he did. And, again, it just sucks all around, and it's just this is what drugs does, folks. I mean, it's... you can't stress it enough. I mean, whether it was legal, whether it was illegal, whether it was a banned substance, whether it was not, that's not the point. The point is these athletes getting in trouble and over stupid stuff. And yeah. It's got to stop. I mean, it's hurting. And I tweeted this out, and the whole Jones situation, and, of course, with the Waller, you can fit any situation in there. What you do is consequences.
Right.
And then what happens with, like, Jones, ripple effect. It affected Cormier because, you know, he had to find a new opponent. He trained for a 5-round fight. It was a 3-round fight.
He's going to lose money, too.
It lost money. Again, and then going back to that with Waller, like we were talking about, 53-man roster, extra spot, what do you do? And it hurts his development as a player because now you don't have those 4 weeks to prepare.
Right.
The actions do have consequences.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on. Let's talk about Justin Tucker here.
Sure.
Big decision to be made in his future, whether it be a long-term contract, a short-term contract, whether to put the franchise tag on him. The Ravens got some big decisions with him coming up. We talked about this last year, about how there was a new offensive coordinator coming in, whether or not he was going to be important to this team after the new style came in. After last season, I got to say, he's more important than ever.
More important than ever, man. A vital part.
So what do the Ravens do?
I think they get a long-term deal done. What I ultimately think might happen is we have less than a week. Franchise tag might be applied.
Right.
Get the average of 5, as we know, the top 5 salaries, the position. Then they work out the structure. The Ravens have no problem with that as far as history's sake. I think he gets done. He's already stated he wants to be here. Justin was quoted saying it might not a matter of if, but when.
Right.
So I think ultimately you're going to see number 9 kicking balls for us for a while.
I hope so. I mean, he's one of the best kickers in the league. We've seen some of the crazy things he can do. You were at the Detroit game where he became Legatron. And
not to mention all the wonderful Royal Farms chicken that he promotes. Love it. Singing opera, it's just great.
Yeah.
He's got raw talent. I mean, the guy's awesome. I'll never forget the 5 golden rings and the Christmas.
Yeah, the Christmas one.
Yeah.
I didn't expect to hear that voice from him. That was nuts.
Oh, he's awesome.
All right, so last thing before we get to our interview with Rise and Conquer, I got to ask you, Mark Trestman's coming back. This is the first time, I think, since 2013 the Ravens have had the same offensive coordinator for 2 seasons. What does that mean for the offense, the fact that they are in a system and they're actually sticking with it after a season?
Oh, it's a round of applause. It's awesome. What it basically means for the offense is, again, you always cite change. Flacco's used to change. He's had coordinators. They changed coordinators in midseason, won the Super Bowl. So change, that doesn't affect the team. What is the nucleus of the playbook, the nucleus of the system, even bringing young, fresh talent with the veteran leadership that we have. They're getting used to his system, and that's great. You definitely don't want to change coordinators every season as we usually do around here, where it's just one and done, it didn't work out, or they get promoted to head coaching as Caldwell did and other coordinators before him. What happens is that system is in there. They know it. It's not a burden in training camp. It's like, hey, it's his system. Let's just implement and run. And it's kind of plug and play for the players that come in and out, instead of going, okay, we have to hit the reset button like when Kubiak came in. Mm-hmm. And then see, when he leaves, he has a different style than what he has. So it's just, again, you want to keep that same style.
Right.
Let's just say, but again, each coordinator has a different style, so you can't really implement it for, you know, blueprinting it for years to come and duplicating it.
All right, guys. So that is pretty much it for what's going on in Ravens world. This is the off season, so we're happy to only hear about like one suspension, no injuries, nothing like that. But we've got a very special interview coming up at the Maryland Zoo with Amy Eveleth. She's one of the trainers for Rise and Conquer, who we see every single game day at the stadium. So guys, stick with us, and we'll be right back with our interview with Amy Eveleth at the Maryland Zoo. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Thank you for listening to The Call. And we are on location here at the Maryland Zoo in Baltimore with Rise and Conquer. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for coming out to visit them in the off season, no less.
Absolutely.
This is the slow time for the Ravens, but these guys are always busy. Tell us a little bit about yourself. How long have you worked with Rise and Conquer?
I have been at the zoo for 19 years, and I have worked with them since they got off the plane when they were 6 weeks old. So I have been working with them since the beginning. There are a set of 3 or 4 of us that have been with them since the beginning and that go to the games. Rick Wilson and myself are the ones that typically go to the games with them, and we're the ones that work the most closely with them.
So you're their true mama.
Yes, that's right. So, and we do have favorites. Sorry, we do. So I always have Conquer, and Rick always has Rise.
So this is Conquer.
This is Conquer. So Conquer makes sure that he's always with me, and we always make sure that Rise is with Rick, and everything goes smoothly that way.
Do you ever mix them up? Like, does that happen sometimes? Or
no. You might think it would because they're all black. But if you look at Conker, he's got some white on his chest. So I tell people it's his away jersey.
There you go.
He's got some white on his chest. So that's how you can tell them apart.
Awesome.
And also, normally he isn't breathing with his mouth open, but he's a little warm. Rise is a mouth breather. And so he always has his mouth open regardless of temperature. It could be snowing out, 12 degrees out, and he always has his mouth open. So I think he snores.
So tell us a little bit about the birds. Like, even though these are ravens, I can't expect to see like one of these guys in my front lawn in the morning.
No, and if you do, let us know. So a lot of people think that they have ravens at their house, and my standard line is, unless the team is practicing, you have really fat crows. So you can tell the ravens and the crows apart. If you look at him, he has some feathers on the tip of his beak across his nares, so crows don't have those. Also, the wing shape is a little bit different, and tail structure is a little bit different, so he has a bit of a fan tail, and a crow is going to have a bit of a bob tail. Call is different, and socially they're very different as well. So crows will live with hundreds of other crows, and ravens are typically by themselves or with a pair, or if they're very young, they're with their nest mates, but usually you only see them by themselves.
Absolutely, and you mentioned the feathers. I can see the purplish hue, so that's why the purple and black colors, of course, for the ravens. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's
how they get their color.
Well, they're kind of iridescent, so if you could see things through a bird's eye, they are amazing. It's like a technicolor dream coat. So humans have very unsophisticated eyes compared to birds. Birds can see a million different colors, so your shirt looks really cool to him.
All right.
Which is great. But if you look at him at just the right light, you get to see the iridescence. You get to see the kind of oily color on there. So it is a little purple. It is a little red. And so that's where you get the team colors from.
Awesome.
So tell us about these guys on game day. I mean, we've gone to Ravenswalk before. We've gotten our picture taken with Rise and Conquer. But they're at the field. They're at the stadium, and they're cheering on the team as well. What's a game day experience for them?
So we have the best seats in the house for the game. We are on Ravenswalk for the first couple hours. It opens for a 1 o'clock game, for instance. I'll run you through our day. We get here at the zoo at 8, and we leave here by 8:45. We are at Ravenswalk at 9:15. Birds are out at 10 o'clock, and they're out from 10 to 11:15, 11:30 typically, and then we head into the stadium with them. So we do about 200 photos in that hour, an hour and a 15-minute time span with the birds, and then we head in and we visit all the tents, and then we go down in the belly of the beast, we call it, and we go down into the locker room. We give them a little bit of a rest. They get something to drink, something to eat before we go on the field. And so at about noon, 12:15, we are on the field, and we're on the edge of the stadium by the marching band and where the tunnel is and the guys come out. And then when the whole thing starts, we stand right usually on the V and E, right in the end zone, and we do our wing salute for the team as they come out of the tunnel.
Go. Every Sunday,
every
clockwork.
Every Sunday, yep, every game day.
Now, does it matter with their scheduling, if it's a night game, Monday night game, week off, are they in that mode, in that regimen, I should say, or do they alter the schedule?
We have a schedule here with them. So if they are going, if it's a game day, they are usually out overnight in their exercise pen, and they're not in their regular mute, just so they can get the ants out of their pants first thing in the morning. So they're a little easier to kennel for me. So they do have a routine. If they stay out overnight, they're going out in the morning for their for their game. He's looking at his brothers. So they're going out in the morning for their game. And then when we come home, we put them back easily, and they have their meat diet, and they're sleeping. They're very tired the next day, especially the night games. The night games are tricky because they go to sleep at dusk typically. So when we're at a night game, we make sure to keep them awake. So they're very, very tired when we were leaving the stadium around midnight.
So really the crowd doesn't impact them whatsoever.
It doesn't. I'm sorry to say they're not impressed. So they're not, and they don't pay attention to the score. So when we're on the field, and the number one question we get is it stressful for them? And Ravens are so smart. I tell people they're like evil genius smart. And so they need something going on all the time, and they notice everything. And
a bored bird.
Yeah, exactly.
Bored.
We do not want them to be bored, because then they will get cranky, and we do not want a cranky raven on the sidelines. So when we are at the games, we make sure that they are stimulated all the time. We are doing interactions with fans. We're giving them little treats when no one's looking. We're giving them little scratches when no one's looking. But we also change up their routine. So they were starting to get a little bit bored when we first started coming to the games, when we were just circling the field. So then we decided to go up into the suite. So now we do suite visits the second and third quarter, and then come back down for the fourth for the end of the game. And it keeps them busy, and it keeps, you know, the change of environment and the change of tempo. And so When we go home, they're very tired. We like tired, not bored.
Interactive birds, of course. And
they
you mentioned that you feed them treats. So what is their typical diet? As you said, I know in my history, they're carnivorous birds.
They're opportunistic eaters. So they'll eat anything that we give them. They've been known to steal some fruit out of sangria. So be careful when you stand next to them with your little drink. We tell everyone, they don't believe me. I'm like, I'm telling you, he will steal the fruit. And he has. They also like to steal anything in your hand, like a French fry or a donut hole. So when you come up with them, please don't have food in your hand. But we give them here at the zoo a very balanced diet. Ravens have weird little tummies that can digest anything, and so we have to constantly change up their diet so they're not getting the same thing every day, because they can get sick from that. So we give them a meat diet, which is consistent. They get the same amount every single day. But then we also give them fruits and veggie and a pelleted diet. It's like a low-protein dog or cat chow. So when we're at the field, they get a low-protein cat chow. When they're here, they get the dog chow. So they only get the cat chow when they're with me and Rick and we're out doing appearances.
Do they prefer one to the other?
They do. They like the cat chow a little bit more, so that's why we save it. And they would love the meatballs, but they don't travel well, and I don't want them in my pocket. So we don't travel with the meatballs. We do give them a little bit of meat in the locker room, because we share a locker room with the cheerleaders. So we're all downstairs, and we give them a little bit of meat during right before the games, but typically they just get the cat chow.
Interesting.
Gotcha. So besides game day and Ravens Walk, these guys are great ambassadors for the zoo and for the team, and you can kind of see them out in the community. What's some of the events that they've attended? When can you typically see Rise and Conquer?
You can see them at a lot of different events. So we'll be doing a few events around town, and we're usually listed on the events. I know we're doing something at West Riverside Park coming up. It's a big community day, and the Rise and Conquer will be there. We also just got back from Beach Bash. We took them there for the 4 days, and they get a oceanfront room, and they literally sit in front of the ocean. Rick and I set up the cage in front of the sliding glass door, and they watch the ocean.
Wow. Must be nice.
It's awesome. Well, it's funny, and also because crows find us wherever we are.
No.
And they're like,
I'm sure.
Dive bombing, and Rise and Conquer are like, locals. They don't care. So, you can see them at different events throughout the state. We also take them on Zoomobiles, which is our traveling animal ambassador program, and they go all over for that. We offer Raven partner packages where classrooms can adopt them, so they get them to definitely come out to see them. And we also do adoptions of the Ravens, and people can see them during Adopter's Day when they come out to the zoo, and on Purple Fridays during the season. If we're not on a caravan, they're out on grounds.
There you go.
That's very cool. So can you tell us a little bit more about the adoption program? I know if there's somebody out there who's like an out-of-towner and not in Baltimore, can't go to the games, you can actually go to the zoo's website and adopt the Rise and Conquer. I know I got that from my mom for her birthday. Yeah. You're an adoptee.
Oh, yeah. I was right on it first day. I found that out.
I knew you looked familiar. I think they know that.
So can you tell us a little bit about what people get if they do the adoptions and how it benefits the birds?
It benefits the birds. It goes into our general fund. So what we pull from that are our diets and our housing. Monies and our funds for enrichment and toys for the birds. So it definitely benefits them. I think last year we made about $40,000 in adoptions for just the Raven.
He wants more, if you couldn't tell.
Wants more. So I think it was about $40,000 worth of Raven adoptions. And that's not polar bear, that's not elephant and penguin, which we also do. So there's a number of different tiers, a number of different animals that you can adopt, but the Ravens are by far one of the most popular.
That's great. And you mentioned in the beginning that it's an African Raven. So this isn't a really North American common Raven?
It's not. They would never put up with the stadium.
Really?
No. So they're a little bit grumpier. they're also much more territorial. They African ravens are typically found around settlements and developments and large amounts of people. They're a little more opportunistic than a northern or a common raven is, so they will kind of find food anywhere. They're not as... you can definitely have more people handle them. So I know people that were common ravens or northern ravens, and it's one or two people, and that's it.
That's
so
amazing.
We have about seven or eight people that will actually take these birds out on program, and that was a must for us.
Yeah. Didn't even realize that. Wow, how common
it is. People also ask, one of the things we also ask, they're like, they fly through the stadium. We do not fly them. I like them too much. So we do not fly them, and the reason is because they're so opportunistic, because they would find someone with beer and a pretzel and be like, I'm going there. You can keep your cat chow
in
your pocket because I'm getting beer and a nacho chip. So we don't fly them to the stadium. And plus, you know, they're big when you're right next to them. But if you're in, you know, the 500 level, they're like, what is that blackbird flying around? So you're not going to get it. We want them to be close up interactions with guests and close up interactions with fans. And the best way to do that is to have them right next to you. And also,
getting a little excited.
I know he's a little excited. So is to have them right next to you on the perch, and you can get right next to them and see how beautiful they are rather than just flying them.
Here you go.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for joining the Call podcast here at the Maryland Zoo. If you're ever in Baltimore, if you're a local here, make sure you come visit the Maryland Zoo, see Rise and Conquer, and see all the other great animals they have here. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
you
very
much.
Out.
You're welcome. Thank you.
awesome was that, guys?
Dude, that was awesome.
Rise and Conquer at the Maryland Zoo.
Great treat. Great treat.
Yeah, great. Not like those cat food treats that they were feeding her. An actual good
all.
Treat for us. That was pretty cool.
That was cool. And it's good to know you're alive. I know you went in the cage. You went into the Raven's cage. He came out alive.
I did. When she was like, hey, do you want to go and film stuff? I was like,
yeah.
Okay,
but
sure.
It was really cool to get up close and personal with these birds and learn a lot about what they do. And you know, some of the stuff they covered, and I got to talking to Amy on offhand after
right.
camera, is they live for about 30 years, which is
wow.
awesome.
Yeah.
And she said that they're 7 years old, so we're going to have at least these mascots for the foreseeable future, and of course the replaceable as the years go down. But what a great partnership.
Yeah.
Great with the zoo and the Ravens and what they have to offer, and the public appearances, the adoptions, the community. Great partnership. And it's great to have, you know, these live Ravens as our true mascots. I mean, you know, we're the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, you know,
and they're so unique.
Awesome.
That's the coolest thing, is that they're such a unique creature that, yep. and so much that I didn't know about them that we learned in this interview.
Oh, of course. I mean, it was definitely information and education, which we like to do, but it was just, you know, eye-opening and really diving into what they really are and all about. So
yeah.
I'm definitely going to be reading up on that, and just remember that next time you see them on the field or in the stadium when Ravens walk, you know, you listen to the podcast, you know a little bit more about them and get and just it's just awesome. I really you can say I'm excited. I'm a loss
yeah.
for words kind of, because I'm just excited overall, man. It was a great treat, and I thank the Ravens and the Ravens for doing that, the partnership with the zoo. Thank you for the zoo opening up their doors to do that for us.
Yeah.
And Amy Eveleth with her time, I really appreciate it.
Yeah. And if you guys are watching this video, if you're listening to our podcast, because I forgot to mention in the beginning, we did shoot all this for video, so
absolutely
you can see this on YouTube if you're listening to this in your car.
You took great pics, so
oh yeah, thank you. But if you guys are out of towners, you're not locals to Baltimore, maybe you once were, maybe you aren't any longer, you can actually go to the Maryland Zoo website and you can adopt Rise and Conquer. You've done it. We talked about it in the interview. Yeah, they send you stuff as a thank you in return. There's a little plush raven,
yep,
some
got
facts
it on my
about
desk.
Them.
It's awesome.
It's what a cool gift. It makes a cool gift for a birthday or anything coming up. Just really cool that you can adopt the birds, and you heard where the money goes with those adoptions. So really cool stuff. Thank you again to the Maryland Zoo. If you ever are in Baltimore, if you are local, make sure you go check out the zoo and support them as well. So that's pretty much it for the show. If you guys
Absolutely.
Want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, it's real easy. All you have to do is go to Twitter. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you
Always
at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
All right, very cool. Guys, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, download, and watch us on YouTube for free. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the call. Let people know that you're a Baltimore Ravens fan, you listen to the call, and we're getting you ready for the upcoming season. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit.
The whole list.
Snapchat.
The whole list.
Periscope.
Just keep going.
Maybe Uber.
Maybe now with the it's Pokemon Ball. They come
the
back.
Pokemon
so
Go.
So now we can just maybe
I turned 31 in 10 days, and I downloaded the app.
I had to. We're sitting at the Orioles game, and my buddy's catching Pokemon while we're watching. I was like, I had to. I'm sorry. I had to. It's fun.
I don't get it, but it is kind of fun.
Maybe we can find one in the park here somewhere.
Oh, I bet you there's one in the park.
I'm
bet
sure.
You. All right, guys. That's pretty much it for the show this week. Thank you again to Amy Eveleth and the Maryland Zoo for talking to us about Rise and Conquer. Josh, take us out the way you always
Brandon,
do.
Brandon, thanks so much, and thanks for all our listeners. This was a great treat. Really hope all enjoy. It was definitely a pleasure to get to do it with you, Brandon. Thank you to the zoo once again. Thank you to Amy for the hospitality and the information. It was definitely great to have the basically the first class access, and you know, I wanted to share the wealth with our listeners and all out there. It's great. I'm very excited for the upcoming season here. We're winding down summer. It's July. End of training camp, or start of training camp ends at the end of this month, and we'll be definitely broadcasting live on location coming up from the stadium. With that being said, summer's almost ending. That means football's around the corner. With that being said, Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com. Yeah.